gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I am John Fugelsang, filling in for Steph this morning with you all 3 hours. And you can call us at 1-800-STEPH-12. I'm very happy to be filling in for Stephanie today. It's always a pleasure to be joined by the great Chris Lavoie in the Burbank Studios. Good morning, Chris.
How are you today?
I'm not too shabby because I am broadcasting the Stephanie Miller Show live from Green 960 here in lovely San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we are here for the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, the relentless force of brilliance and political moxie that cannot be stopped. And we are here doing two shows at the Orpheum Theater, and that's why I'm broadcasting out of here today, because we're bringing the unholy menace that is the tour with Stephanie, myself, and Hal Sparks. I know you guys talked about it all week. Last weekend we were in Los Angeles. We had special guests Lily Tomlin and Rob Reiner join us on stage.
Yep.
This week we are proud to be back up here in San Francisco, be back here. We've never brought the tour here before. I've played here before. But we're very, very thrilled to be doing two shows at the Orpheum. And it's been quite an adventure since I got here. We decided in each city where we do the tour, we always, you know, give some money to a local cause. And we always give a portion of the tour profits to a local cause. In Syracuse, we went to the fracking, anti-fracking
right.
movement. In Madison, Wisconsin, we donated to recall Scott Walker. You know, in L.A. last week, we donated to the Trevor Project.
That's right.
Trying to prevent LGBT teen suicides. And this week, we are giving money. We can announce it now. Well, actually, I think, is Steph going to call in to announce it?
She's going
to
call in at some point, but I think we can pre-announce it.
It's pretty special.
Yeah.
For the folks who care about Occupy Wall Street, have been following what happened at Occupy Oakland, we're going to be donating money from this tour to help with the medical bills of Scott Olson.
Yep.
He is the Iraq war vet who was hit in the head with a tear gas canister 3 nights ago and received a skull fracture. He's fast becoming a hero of this movement and a symbol of the bipartisan nature of the movement, and how the movement of Occupy Wall Street is not a pro-Democratic Party movement. It's actually a response to the two-party system. And so we're very, very proud to announce that a portion of the proceeds from our shows here will go to help him with his medical bills. And we also decided, you know, in every city we go to, we always give some tickets away to an organization, be it the Democratic Party or an LGBT group or a radio station or a sponsor. We decided to give some free tickets for this tour to demonstrators at Occupy San Francisco and at Occupy Oakland. And that's been quite an adventure. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Because I'm the low guy on the totem pole, you know. It's like Steph is there and she's got an exciting life and Hal's there and he's off making TV shows and I'm here going to Occupy San Francisco handing out tickets to guys with bones in their nose and white kids with dreadlocks.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, it's really beautiful. The Occupy San Francisco movement, all I heard in the media about it was that it's covered in urine and feces and vomit and it's filthy and it's a public health hazard. And I got here expecting to have to wear a hazmat suit and it's nothing like that at all. There's
right.
Portisans set up. I mean, I just like the disconnect between how the media is covering
yeah.
these stories and what's actually going on down there is astonishing to
That's
me.
Right. Yeah, the people on Fox News, and even I was watching ABC News, World News Now, which is their overnight show this morning, and you know, one of the anchors was saying, oh, we don't know what these people want, and it's, you know, a dirty mess down there. I'm like, dude, have you even walked down there just to ask some questions of these people? Do some journalism, for God's sakes.
But you know what? It's sort of like this movement, and I guess all movements are in some way a mirror to whoever looks into it. Because if you want to look for scorn, if you want to find goofy clowns walking around at Occupy Wall Street protests, yeah, you'll find it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. You're going to find your legalized hemp guys.
Yep.
And you're going to find your free mumia without another trial guys. You know, just like if you go to a Tea Party movement, you'll find
right.
all of that. And you'll find genuine riffraff in any movement. You know, for the other night in Oakland, someone threw a brick through a Starbucks window, which I want to talk about on the show. But how is that any different than going to a Tea Party movement and meeting these creeps who use the N-word against Congressman
right.
John Lewis? I mean,
there's embarrassments on all sides. Who carry rifles, you know,
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, let's look at this. All this Wall Street crime, all these banks with their toxic assets, all these predatory lenders who gave people mortgages they knew they couldn't pay out of
mm-hmm.
these banks because the banks had now merged with companies like AIG where they were betting on the mortgages to fail. My God, if you're in baseball and you bet on your own team to fail, you're banned for life. If you're in a bank and you do that, you get bailed out. you know, people are very, very angry about what's gone on. And there's a lot of very aware people at these protests. And for every clown you find who's just there to, you know, have a do a live in a tent and hit on, you know, chicks and tie dye, you really will find some brilliant young people and middle aged people as well who are there.
And you'll find people in suits and ties. You know,
yeah.
It's everybody.
And even people who aren't staying there. Every one of these things I've gone to, people who aren't staying there, who have families, who have jobs, man, they're bringing blankets down, they're bringing food down, they're donating food, and those are the real heroes, the ones who are helping to subsidize this demonstration, because I don't know how it's going to be on the East Coast when it gets cold, but I think they're going to be on the West Coast all winter long, and it's going to be really interesting watching these demonstrations continue throughout the winter.
Right.
It's not going away, and it's still leaderless, which I really appreciate as a bystander, as a supporter. And again, you just nailed it, Chris. You know, you keep hearing, oh, riots, riots, riots. Well, all these guys in the banks who committed all these crimes, none of them have gone to jail. People protesting have gone to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And why is it that when the Tea Party walks around carrying weaponry, there's no problem with the cops, but these unarmed, nonviolent protesters, well, we've got to stop them somehow.
Yeah.
It's really, really astonishing. And the hypocrisy in the media is just only going to become more evident. It's amazing how, like, these kids of the 60s, you know, who were scorned by their parents, have grown into their parents scorning these young people now.
Right.
It's so I went down yesterday to Green Knights to Green Knights 62 Occupy San Francisco. It's early, man. And I was giving out tickets for the show, and people were wonderful and so appreciative, and a ton of Stephanie listeners,
woo-hoo!
Which was really, really nice. Yeah, lots of people who might not ordinarily have gone to Occupy San Francisco but showed up, which was great to see. And I was at the local ABC affiliate yesterday, and it was the same thing. You know, like, they were asking me on the air, you know, what do you think of these? And I'm like, you know, there's lots of conservative people who share the same grievances. You know, there's so many conservative people who are represented by Occupy Wall Street, whether they like it or not. There's conservative people who are still mad that trickle-down hasn't worked for them. Conservative people who are mad at George Bush for running two wars off the books and Medicare Part D off the books while cutting taxes for the upper 2%.
Yeah.
Just as there are Democrats who are there because they're mad that Bill Clinton deregulated so much and we lost Glass-Steagall and got NAFTA and the derivatives market. It's really whereas the Tea Party was purely Republican.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can all agree on that.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, you know, the 99% is a pretty big tent.
Yeah, you go down there and it's like they're not, you know, just because they're disorganized and lack a coherent message and have no clear leader doesn't mean they're Democrats. And it just seems that way.
Yeah, I know.
So we're going to be taking your calls all morning at 1-800-STEPH-12.
Yep.
Want to know what you think about the Occupy movement. But as many of you know, it was Scott Olson, the Iraq war vet. I believe he served two tours of duty in Iraq, who was nonviolently demonstrating,
mm-hmm.
was hit in the head with this tear gas canister, fractured his skull. We just figured, well, this is the guy. This is the greatest symbol, and this is a symbol for our conservative brothers and sisters to see, to say, hey, man, this represents you. And you know what? For anyone being violent, I hope the movement expunges them right away. Just as the Tea Party was publicly forced to decry racists in their midst, I hope the Occupy Wall Street movement, they already have. I mean, if you're throwing bricks through a window, man, you're not liberal or conservative.
No.
You're just a douche.
Yep. Absolutely.
There's, you know, I mean, and people are saying, oh, it's all trolls, it's all plants that are thrown here to try and make it violent, and that may or may not be the case. But
yeah.
It's, and actually, I met a couple people at Occupy LA who I kind of thought were like from Breitbart land, who were kind of there trying to, stir up dissent.
Oh, sure.
But,
yeah. Yeah, a couple of guys from the right-wing station next door went down there yesterday stirring up trouble.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they just go to mock it.
Right.
They go to mock it. You know, they're doing jaywalking. They're finding the dumbest person they can find to make a mockery of.
Exactly.
And, you know, which is hilarious because I've been to four of these things now. A lot less misspelled signs than your average Tea Party rally, first of all.
Yes.
Gotta say, it's rather shocking.
We are the educated. We are the 99%.
Yes. This is what democracy spells like.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's here's the thing, that, and I am asked on all these shows, and yesterday I did the local ABC news show up here, and they said, you know, how do you compare this to the Tea Party? And it's like, well, you know what? You want to make jokes about body odor? Yeah, there is body odor here.
Yep.
People are really living there. You know why? People are really committing to it. No one is being bussed here on an air-conditioned mass transportation vehicle by the Koch brothers to watch a bunch of country stars get up on a Koch brother-funded stage with giant plasma screens with flag imagery behind them into awesome sound systems. There's nothing of the kind. Yeah, it's grungy. Yeah, it's dirty. And you know what? These people still have pride in their community. I was at Occupy New Wall Street 2 weeks ago. Was it 2 weeks ago? It might be 3 weeks, but no, 2 weeks ago, Jeez, I'm so confused. I've been on the road so long. But at 6 a.m., two Fridays ago, is when they announced that they were going to clear the park, and the cops are going to kick everybody out to clean Zuccotti Square in New York City.
Right, I remember that.
I went down there at 5:30 in the morning, and you know what I saw? I saw kids cleaning the hell out of a New York City park. I saw young people scrubbing metal garbage cans with brushes. The
scrubbing.
Virgin Mary.
Whoa.
The Virgin Mary could have eaten goulash off the sidewalk. That park was so clean.
Hmm.
And at 6 a.m., what happened? The government backed down.
Yeah.
Bloomberg said, okay, you can stay. And we're seeing this all the time after it happened in Oakland last week. We're going to talk a lot about the mayor of Oakland this morning.
Yeah.
And how she backed down and announced that they were going to reduce the amount of police surrounding the demonstrators, and that she herself supported the demonstrators, which is unheard of. And we're beginning to see what we saw under the Tea Party. If the people lead, the leaders will follow. And whatever you think of the Tea Party, they showed us that that old maxim is true. And we're beginning to see it here now. We're beginning to see local governments forced to give respect to this movement.
Absolutely.
And, just, you know, and even if you despise it, even if you're Republican and can't stand it, you've got to have some pride, you know, civically, that this can happen. And because these people speak for you,
yeah,
my Republican friends, a lot more than John Boehner does.
And we have to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking to a Republican who is a Tea Partier who also supports Occupy Wall Street.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Stephanie Miller Show, 1-800-STEP-12.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
The Stephanie Miller Show, taking your calls at 1-800-STEP-12. I'm John Fugelsang, filling in for Steph from Green 960 in San Francisco, and that is the late, great LCD Sound System with Daft Punk is playing at my house.
Yes.
By request. What a year, man. LCD Sound System broke up this year. The White Stripes broke up this year. REM broke up this year. And New Kids on the Block are touring with Backstreet Boys.
They are.
God hates us, gentlemen. It's an ugly,
You're
ugly thing.
You're a snob.
Oh, a snob? A snob?
You're a music snob.
A music snob. I'm sorry, man. If you lip sync in concert, first off, they call them boy bands, okay? If you don't play instruments, you're not a band. You're a group. So they're not boy bands. And they're not boys. They're men, okay? Well, they're a man group. They're right. Not a boy band. Let's get that out of the way. Secondly, if you lip sync, even part of your vocals, if you lip sync the choruses but sing your solos for real, and you ladies who've been to these shows know what I'm talking about, if you do that, you're a mime, and it should be listed on the tickets that portions of the show are performed by mimes. So I am a snob because I don't believe in making people pay to watch mimes when they think they're singing live music. So take that, Lavoie.
In the latter days of REM, Michael Stipe lip synced to all of his videos.
Well, no. Hang on a second.
Uh-huh.
No. Oh, I'm just going to torpedo that right down. Everyone lip syncs every music
exactly.
video. Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan. I'm not talking about lip syncing videos. No one plays live for a music video when it's shot. That's a film you do. And, you know, when you watch your
own... So then you're not anti-lip sync.
Hang on a second. If you watch musicals, West Side Story, they're lip syncing. Those
Absolutely.
Actors, there wasn't an orchestra playing. Those actors were singing along.
Absolutely. Natalie Wood didn't. That wasn't even Natalie Wood's voice.
Exactly. Audrey Hepburn was lip syncing to Marnie Nixon in My Fair Lady. That's not a prop. That's creating a film. I'm talking about when you pay to see a concert. When you pay money to walk into an arena to see live music and you're actually seeing someone play live to tape, and let me tell you, as someone who was a VJ in the salt mines of MTV Networks, I saw lots of major artists rehearsing for lots of major award shows, and you'd be shocked at who lip syncs.
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
And whose band is miming to track on so many songs.
I wouldn't be shocked at all. But a lot of people, especially a lot of younger people, go to a concert to see a show. They don't necessarily go to see someone singing a song.
You're right, and I totally respect that. And you know, when Madonna does a concert and she lip syncs
a
lot.
Show. She runs around the stage so much that she'd be winded if she sang, and it would be a bad show.
You are completely right, and so I totally get that. However, what I'm saying is, if someone's lip-syncing for part of a show, I think it should be listed on the ticket so people realize. I think it's unfair to charge admission. And, you know, Backstreet Boys, when these guys are dancing around singing their Girl, You're My World, the choruses tend to be completely lip-synced, and the solos,
absolutely,
to their credit, are sung live.
And
so you're paying to see mimes.
And I think people understand that when they go to see a show.
I think so, too, but I bet you a lot of people don't realize they're watching people lip-sync.
I don't think they care.
I don't think
they're
they care
there
either,
the
but
show.
I care because I'm a music snob. All right.
Yes.
Right. Meanwhile, lots of people, I've seen Bob Dylan 50 times, and many people wish he would lip-sync.
Well, there is that.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll defend Bob Dylan on a different classic rock nerd show sometime. Dawn in Chicago is calling us, and Dawn, are you there? I understand that you're a Republican.
Yes, good morning, my civil brothers and sisters out there.
Good morning.
I just joined the Tea Party, and we're all talking about what's, you know, there's so much of Occupy Chicago, Occupy Wall Street, that is our message. That, well, another aspect, though, that we're going to be bringing downtown is to peel the pretty tan off the ugly face of student loans. I mean, these professors and colleges are making tons of money on the absolute backs and souls of our children. I just looked at trying to put my daughter in college.
Professors are making tons of money? You think it's the teachers that are getting rich off of student loans?
I'm not trying to ban teachers. No. I'm talking about the colleges.
Okay, well, that's different. That's different. The organization, the institutions are making the money, not the teachers.
Yeah.
Let's clarify that.
Right. Thank you. I mean, we have to wonder, why don't the colleges loan the money to the kids? Why don't the colleges, they are businesses, you loan the money to your students that you accept. And if those students can't pay back those loans because you promised them that these 4-year and 6-year degrees will get them high-paying jobs, you invested in this. And this is the message we're bringing downtown. Hold Wall Street accountable, and then hold our education system, our college and university systems accountable for that money, and don't use government funds for school loans. Come on.
Okay, let me take this one point at a time, please, Dawn, if I might, because I want to just, you know, on the college agreement, I would disagree on some level and say that colleges do loans in the forms of things like work-study programs or even in residence life, how you can be an RA and get free room and board. There's many ways that it's not free, you work for it. So there are many ways that colleges actually will help people with their tuition or costs in exchange for services, and that's nothing new. But I do want to go back to your original point about the Tea Party, because here's my take on the Tea Party. Tell me what you think. I think the Tea Party was begun by the Ron Paul guys, okay, the real conservatives, who were disgusted at the way George Bush was spending money and realized, you know, and the way Reagan had spent money, too. And these guys were the ones who began the protest. And then it was co-opted by the Republican establishment and a lot of people who weren't really libertarians. They were just embarrassed Republicans, people who weren't even aware of Bush's spending. And they wanted to blame Obama for things Bush did. I think that we would agree that those are the guys who founded the Tea Party before it got co-opted by people dressed up as silly colonial characters. Would you agree?
We have to take a break.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I want to talk about that point when we come back. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. We're taking your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12.
The devil is not the greatest threat to salvation due to last week's discovery of
Stephanie Miller.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Fiegelsang, and keeping with the classic rock theme, that's Bananarama, right? I guess Bananarama probably counts as classic rock compared to today's music, but we're happy that you are joining us.
We're playing the hits.
Yes, and it's actually one of the best covers of the 80s, was Venus by Bananarama.
You know, it was a happy little song.
Oh, yeah, of course. And we, Bananarama, that woman in there is Dave Stewart's wife from Eurythmics.
Yes.
Siobhan Fahey. So,
yes.
There's a classic rock connection right there. And I'm a big nerd. My name's John Fiegelsang, and I'm broadcasting for Steph from Green 960 here in San Francisco, where the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tour is playing this weekend. Two shows at the Orpheum Theater tonight and tomorrow. Stephanie Miller, Hal Sparks, and myself. 2 hours of Republican bashing humor and a little Democrat bashing too for the hardcore liberals out there.
And the Orpheum Theater is at the Civic Center BART stop.
Yes,
if
it is.
Coming over from Oakland.
Very excited to be playing such a historic, beautiful place. And I hope you are coming over from Oakland, because yesterday I went down to Occupy San Francisco and gave out some free tickets as our way of supporting the 99%. And today, as artists supporting the 99%, I'll be going to Occupy Oakland to give out some free tickets as well, to thank those good folks over there. They've been through heck this week. And my mother, of course, is terrified that I'm going to Oakland. My brother lived there for years, and my mother's terrified that I'll be there. And I'm like, Mom, I'm going to be where the news media is.
Uh-oh.
And I think I'm more afraid of them than anything else.
Yeah.
But we do have a call. Richard is calling from San Francisco with an Occupy SF update. Good morning.
Good morning. What's happening right now is we had such a win the other day with having 2,000-3,000 people down there, that we really have a chance. Some of the things that are going on is that people, some of the upper-level thought leaders and people that are working with us have either agendas to slow us down or do other things to thwart us. We have a lot of good people, but at the same time...
Richard, if I might, for the folks who don't know, what happened was two nights ago, the rumor was that the police were going to come down, load up the paddy wagons, and clear out Occupy San Francisco. Over 1,000 people showed up at midnight on a weeknight, and the police dispersed. There were no violence, and it was considered a huge victory for the demonstrators. Please go on.
Well, absolutely. And one thing I'd like to do is I'd be glad to share my number to get some resources from your audience. And we really need help from the organization standpoint and from a speaker standpoint, where we can motivate some of the people in the camp. Some of the things that go on, even though we have this great news like this, which makes it a timing factor, it's really important that we push this movement ahead forward now and get the message out to the public to win support. And that's what I've been struggling to do. We've been putting some press releases out, and we have some other things following up, but mm-hmm. we just really need the help. So, you know, I'm glad to share my number to get any help that we can, because now's the time. That win was huge, and we can springboard from that success to really jumping up the effectiveness of Occupy SF. We could possibly be a model for the country with some of the people we have on board. We just need more.
I got to say, I was there for about 3 hours last night, and I really had a wonderful experience. I met a lot of terrific people. A lot of fans of this radio show came by and showed up to lend their support, and a lot of really informed people. What I was saying on the first block of the show this morning was that when I read about Occupy San Francisco, all I was seeing in the mainstream media, including places like HuffPo, was how filthy it was and human waste and this horrible stuff. And I got there and it's completely not true.
Yeah.
There are portisans there that are well maintained. And it's a very, very clean atmosphere. People are camped out, no doubt. But I didn't see any garbage on the ground anywhere. I saw a really, really peaceful and welcoming community.
I was going to come down to talk to you, John, because I would love to have had you come by and speak. We need the motivation.
Oh, I did. I spoke. I did.
Well,
I'll tell you the truth. Okay. I came down and I spoke in the afternoon, mm-hmm. and I've been to a lot of these. It was my first time being asked to address one of the assemblies, and I spoke a bit in the afternoon. And then in the evening, they were having the actual meeting, and the one fellow who was running it was on a megaphone and said, you know, began letting people make announcements. And I got up there and I started to make the announcement I'd made earlier in the day that I'm someone who's been at Occupy Wall Street and Seattle and Los Angeles, and that I came on behalf of a political comedy tour, and that we wanted to, you know, show our support by offering free tickets to our show, sort of a way of artists thanking the 99%, and that we were donating a portion of our proceeds to Scott Olson's medical bills. And I'll be honest with you, the guy with the megaphone took the megaphone away from me and said,
yeah,
this is not the time
to tell you.
Yeah, he said,
that's
this is not the time for announcements. He said, it's not the time for announcements like that. And I'm like, but I'm here to, like, you know, try and give some motivation and some support. And he's like, well, that's later. Come back at 7 o'clock. And I'm like, well,
exactly.
And so, you know, I just said off the megaphone, I just said, folks, I'm very sorry if that was rude of me. I didn't mean to intrude or overstep. I'm going to be giving out tickets to our show at the Orpheum tomorrow night as our gesture of goodwill to y'all. Please see me if you want any, and I'm sorry if I did anything wrong.
Right.
And I'm not lying to you. I had 2 dozen people come up to me and say, oh, man, we wish he'd let you speak.
Right.
You know, and it says, like,
that's what I'm trying to tell you. The bottom line is I was in a meeting with the mayor and the department heads and lawyers and so forth. I would have come up to you and I would have taken a process. I put a process together to get you in front of the people, because I brought Robert Reich over, and he was fantastic. He spoke to us. He motivated people, and we got middle class and very people listening. It wasn't any one particular demographic within our group. We need the help. You're understanding exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. But let me tell you the one good thing about it that I took solace from. It was a disorganized move on their part, because I don't claim to represent Occupy Wall Street, but I've been there at some key moments, and I've spoken about the movement on Fox News, on MSNBC. I just come from an interview on your.
Hold on a second. You are one incredibly smart man.
Very kind of you.
Yes, he is.
No, it's a fact. I mean, I've been listening to you guys. I mean, here I am at 6 o'clock in the morning sitting up on a hill in Diamond Heights so I can get some reception to talk to you guys in my car. You have so many facts. And
thank
the way
you.
That you lay it out. That needs to be heard by these people.
But I'm sorry to cut you off, but I was on up with Chris Hayes 2 weeks ago, and we had Congressman John Lewis on and showed the footage of him showing up at Occupy Atlanta, where they wouldn't even let him speak. This is one of Dr. King's right-hand men coming to lend his support, and they wouldn't let this civil rights hero speak to the assembly in Occupy Atlanta. So there is a certain amount of there's knuckleheadism going on. What I took away from it that gave me solace, though, was it is a sign of how disorganized the movement still is, and I take that as proving that it's grassroots, that it's not some kind of AstroTurf, Koch brother-funded shadow organization. It really is a fledgling movement. It's having growing pains. It's awkward. And the fact that they would make a boneheaded move like that and let, you know, this ridiculous guy in a pink suit and dreadlocks, you know, tell me I can't talk, I'm like, well, that's dumb, because you're not being entertaining. You're being preachy. And I was about to come here and actually, you know, rile the troops up for you. So I hope that they get their act together.
You have to understand, John, that it's not that the people, most of these people are not trying to mess the movement up or slow it down, because that is the main problem.
Oh, I know.
Every day. Hang on a second. I deal with this every day. The point is that they're just well-meaning people that sometimes it's difficult for them.
I took no offense. I'm with you, man. I took no offense. And Richard,
I'd like to leave my number with you guys. I'll take
it. We'll take it off the air.
Take it off the air, and that's terrific. And I thank you for all you're doing. And folks, if you're in the Bay Area, go on down and occupy and visit Occupy. And if they get a chance to speak to people, maybe speak publicly if that's one of your skill sets. And you know, I will say, of all the movements I've seen, the San Francisco movement has a lot of great people, and it can use more new blood down there.
Yep.
And I think that when we get more people down there and lend more diversity to it, it can't just be a professional protester scene. I think that you'll see a lot of really good stuff happening, because, boy, man, there's some smart, informed, passionate people there who care about their country. Do we have time for another call, Chris?
Yeah, we do.
I'd love to talk to Dorothy in Michigan. She's been on hold for a long time. Dorothy, are you there? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm excited about the Occupy Wall Street. I love it.
Yeah? And do you have one near you?
Yeah. Well, I think they're getting organized in Detroit, and they haven't really started yet, but they are getting organized. I went on the Internet and looked it up, so I was one of those going down there. I'm a retiree, so I'm almost 60, so I've been around a long time. So I'm so proud of the young people. I am really so proud of them. And these journalists, they are getting on my nerve. I agree with Walter Cronkite. They're just presenters. You know, those people on Fox News, they have small children. So what they expect for their small children for the future? These people are trying to make a difference in this world for the younger people.
They expect their small children for the future to live in gated communities where the 1% thinks they're safe from all this.
Yeah, you know, they did a poll on the millionaire. 68% of the millionaire want to be taxed. They want to save this country.
That's patriotism. There are patriotic millionaires out there who realize that, you know, it falls to them that, I mean, if you're a million, if you have to pay a significantly higher tax rate because you're a wealthy millionaire, that means you've won in the game of life.
You know, Tom Harmon was on his program last week. He was talking on one of the reporters interviewed a rich person from Germany, and he asked him how much taxes he paid. He said, "Oh, I pay about 50 or 60% of tax." And the reporter said, "You pay that much? You're not upset?" He said that I'd rather live in a rich country than I'd rather have a rich country more than being, you know, rich or something like that.
Right on. Yeah.
Stupid.
Well, what a surprise. I mean, But I think you're exactly right. There's tons of rich folks who care about the country and realize that when they were taxed at the rate they were under Bill Clinton, our country was a lot stronger. And when they were taxed at the rate when Reagan took over, our country was a lot stronger. I mean, you look at it now, taxes are lower now than under Obama than they were when Reagan took over. And yet we're supposed to believe that trickle down doesn't work now, but it did work then. It's crazy.
Well, the Republicans better watch out because, you know, if this movement goes on, I remember they was out of power for 20 years a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to probably be out of power again another 20 years because they keep bringing all these crazy stuff in there.
Well, I don't think that'll ever happen, I'm afraid, because they do have a 24-hour propaganda network that's, you know, keeping their base very, very organized, and that's something that the left doesn't have. Let's not forget, Fox News represents the status quo. The Republicans represent the establishment, the aristocracy. The way things are, and you know, that's not going to change, and the status quo is always going to be better organized than the folks who want to change things.
Well, I hope the young people make a difference and make a change in this world.
Hey, not just the young people. How about everybody? You're making a difference.
Everybody, but the young people out there, they started it. The people that my age are now out there, yes, but the young people started it.
That's absolutely.
So I am so proud of him. I, you know, bless God Olson. I said, I hate that happened, but he opened the eyes of a lot of people that what the policemen are doing, and that's not right.
I think you're right, Dorothy. I think as tragic as Scott Olson's injuries have been, a lot of good will come from it, especially when our conservative friends and neighbors realize that maybe this movement speaks for them more than they realize and more
right.
than the liberal media has presented it.
My goodness. But you guys are doing an excellent job. I love you. And
thank you.
And bless you. And you just keep up the good work.
Dorothy, bless you right back. And stop with this old talk. You're not even 60. You're still 11 years younger than Bob Dylan, okay? Put that away. 60's the new 40. I don't want to hear it out of you. God bless you. And let us know how things develop for you in Detroit, okay?
Okay, then. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Aww. Of course, she's awesome. Detroit is where Aretha Franklin came to see us on
That's the
sexy
right.
liberal tour with her entourage of 400 people in the balcony. And
we're glad she was there.
Certainly a highlight. Was it commercial time, Chris?
Yes, it is.
All right, then. We're taking your calls all morning. We have special guests coming up like Tina Dupuy and Rick Overton, but for now, give us a ring at 1-800-STEPH-12. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Total chaos. No rehearsal, no program, and don't even get me started on the monkey.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is from Music to Never Have Sex To. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Fiegel saying good morning. I'm filling in for Steph, broadcasting live in San Francisco from Green 960. We are here for the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tour featuring myself, Stephanie, and Hal Sparks. And we are bringing 2 hours of Republican bashing comedic bliss to the Orpheum Theater here tonight and tomorrow. Tomorrow's mostly sold out. Some tickets still available for tonight.
Like they're single scattered tickets? Is
single
that what
scattered
it is?
Tickets
yeah.
for tomorrow. So go for those if you like, but there will be seats available for tonight. In all cities, we do give away blocks of tickets as gifts to people. And this tour, we decided to go and give tickets away to the Occupy movement. So yesterday, I was at Occupy San Francisco, and this afternoon, or this morning rather, from around 11 a.m. till 1, I will be at Occupy Oakland, showing our support as artists for the 99% and for all the awesomely nonviolent demonstrators in Oakland. So please, if you see me there, come on down. I'd be happy to offer you some tickets. It's a fun show, and it's funnier than having an Oakland PD boot in your face.
Yeah, exactly.
We have...
first, I just want to play a soundbite that we have. It's Pat Robertson urging...
Please.
Yeah, he's talking about why Christians shouldn't support Occupy Wall Street.
Nobody knows exactly what it is. They don't know what they're doing. Why are they there? Well, they're just mad. Well, is it right for a Christian just to get involved in a protest of anger? If you're going to demonstrate for righteousness, demonstrate to lift the yoke of oppression, demonstrate to help those that are poverty stricken. But don't just go out and mess up a park and just scream and tear up things.
Okay, demonstrate for those who are poverty stricken, check. Demonstrate for those who are oppressed, check. And know what your message is?
Check.
The Tea Party is full of people who are anti-government, and yet they worship Ronald Reagan, who grew the government by 61,000 jobs. They are anti-deficit, yet they all voted for George Bush twice, even after he didn't balance a budget a single time in his first term. And they're calling President Obama a Marxist for a health care plan that rewards insurance providers, that rewards the corporate bad guys in our insurance world here in America.
Right.
And you want to say these people on Occupy Wall Street don't have a coherent message? The Tea Party's all over the place. It was started by, like we discussed earlier with our Republican friend who called, was started by the Ron Paul guys, the real conservatives. Whatever you think of Ron Paul, at least, he's consistent, all right? He might be half crazy, but he's consistent. And he's the only guy who has had the guts to stand up and decry and talk about the truth of the George Bush administration, yes, and to a large extent the Reagan administration. So Pat Robertson has not been to an Occupy Wall Street movement.
Removing,
no one you're seeing of these has been.
Yeah, removing the yoke of oppression is exactly what this is about, Pat.
Yeah, because let's be honest, there is one thing and one thing only that the Tea Party has accomplished legislatively so far. And you know what it was? It was last fall when they made Obama buckle and Obama agreed to extend the Bush tax cuts for millionaires another 2 years in exchange for extending unemployment benefits. That is their only legislative victory, unless you want to count, you know, blocking any legislation that might help get the economy moving again.
Right.
But the only thing they've actually gotten passed, and this is all you've done so far, Tea Partiers, I'm going to say it, and you call me up and challenge me, tell me I'm wrong if you're listening, but the only thing, my Tea Party loving friends, you have succeeded in so far is continuing tax cuts for the Americans who need them the least and screaming about deficits at the same time. Don't y'all ever, ever call Occupy Wall Street incoherent in its messaging when you do that kind of nonsense. Am I right? Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah! Pat Robertson's a douche.
I'm
sorry.
Listen. Pat Robertson is a douche, and that's a polite word. And actually, you know what? Calling him a douche is an insult to feminine hygiene, because feminine hygiene has done a lot more good than Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson actually is from Virginia. He performed
in
my mom's cousin's marriage. He actually married my mom's cousin.
Yeah.
So I have a family connection to him. But you know what, man? From supporting apartheid in South Africa, along with Jerry Falwell, who told Americans to buy Cougarants and to call Bishop Tutu a phony, to what he pulled after the Haitian earthquake last year, when Pat Robertson said that Haiti got that earthquake because they had a 200-year-old pact with the devil. I mean, that was the most racist thing anybody ever said in the world.
Yep.
The fact that Haiti is the only population on Earth where an indigenous people drove their slave drivers away, an enslaved population for the only time that we know of in our history, drove their oppressors out of the country, and Pat Robertson said they could only have done it with the help of goblins, and that's why they got an earthquake. I mean... The man's an unholy menace. He, you know, and I'll give him credit for his evolvement on green energy. And I bet you're going to see Pat Robertson even say nice things about gay people before he resigns. But my God, the unholiness out of that man's mouth and his relentless defense of the upper 1% in everything he does.
Well, he is the upper 1% on the backs of his followers, the original 700 Club and everybody who came after that.
Exactly. And you know what? As long as we're bashing Pat Robertson, let me just say one thing. I don't trust anybody who prays on camera with an 800 number in front of them. Okay?
Jesus specifically said, don't do that.
Matthew 6:5, my friends, and everyone listening to this, write it down right now. Jesus was anti-public prayer. Anti-public prayer. When he explained what the Our Father was and gave it, read Matthew 6:5 and you'll see. He says the guys were standing on the street corners to be seen. Don't trust them. They have their reward already. And again, who's the equivalent of that now is these guys on TV who are praying in front of 800 numbers where old people afraid of hell can send their money to.
Talking to you, Joel Osteen.
Uh-huh. Jesus said, go into your closet and pray unto thy Father in secret. And that's how he said to do it. So, you know, I always think, Pat Robertson, would you take a dump on camera? Of course not, because it's so personal.
You just gave me an image I didn't want.
Well, but think about it. I would say this to all these people. Look, if you're in the locker room and you're praying before a game and there's a camera there filming it, that's one thing. That's just ambient prayer. I'm talking when you directly pray facing a camera lens. When you pray into a camera lens and do it, you wouldn't take a dump. It's too personal. Talking to God's not personal enough. We're taking your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12. When we come back, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Fuglesang, filling in for Steph, broadcasting live from Green 960 here in beautiful and still very dark San Francisco, where the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Experience is coming to the Orpheum Theater tonight. That's Friday and tomorrow. Tomorrow's almost totally sold out. Some tickets still available for this evening. And I will be heading over this morning to Occupy Oakland, where on behalf of the show, we will be donating tickets to our wonderful, awesomely nonviolent protesting Occupy Oakland friends. It's a lot more fun than a can of mace in the face. And Stephanie will be calling in, but we can kind of say this now that we are donating a portion of the proceeds. You know, in every town we go to on the tour, we in Syracuse, we gave money to marriage equality and anti-fracking. In Madison, Wisconsin, to the Recall Scott Walker campaign. Last week in L.A., we gave a portion of our profits to the Trevor Project, preventing LGBT teen suicides. Here in San Francisco and Oakland, the tour is donating a portion of our profits to the medical bills of Scott Olson, the Iraq war vet who was injured and had his skull fractured by a tear gas canister in the head from the Oakland PD. We are very proud to be helping him. We think he's going to become a real hero for this movement. And a 24-year-old guy standing there, not hurting anyone, not destroying anything, and received this horrible, grievous injury. And we'll see if the mayor resigns over it.
We actually have a soundbite from Keith Shannon, who was Scott Olson's roommate.
I guess when he came in, he was conscious, but and they said that he knew what he wanted to say, but he wasn't able to say it. He had to say yes or no answers. So I'm just worried he might be something permanent damaged or not.
Let's hope not.
Good morning, Jim Ward. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
On that note, it's great to have you here. Yeah. Hello.
What's up with Oakland?
What is up with Oakland, indeed?
And what, has Jerry Brown weighed in on this, having been
former mayor of Oakland?
I was asking people about that yesterday at Occupy San Francisco, and I'll tell you the honest truth. There's a lot of people who are former Jerry Brown fans all over California, and people are asking the same question you were asking. Why hasn't Jerry Brown taken leadership on this? Why hasn't he come in to talk about it? And
he's turned into a politician.
Well, he always was a politician, but you know, there's a
There's a sense of him being, you know, on the side of good and a fighter, and now it just seems like he's a politician, you know.
I hear you. I hope that that's not the case. I mean, I have a lot of admiration for him. You know, I'm still an L.A. resident, and even though I moved back to New York, I still voted for Jerry Brown for governor last year, which I guess I just committed election fraud. But
you just announced it on a nationally syndicated radio show.
Oh, please. Let me tell you something, man.
You and Ann Coulter.
When I first moved to L.A. in the late 90s, and I kept my my New York City voting going just to go back and vote against Al D'Amato and vote for Chuck Schumer. And still, you know, 10 years later, I still get called for jury duty all the time in New York, even though I'm an L.A. resident. So I don't mind. I'm happy to commit voter fraud for a good cause. Hey, I'm almost a Democrat, I guess.
Yeah, but,
Yeah, well, but no, it's true. Of course, we saw the other night Keith Olbermann demanded the mayor of Oakland resign. It's been a pretty tough scene. Of course, Congresswoman Barbara Lee decried what she called the police brutality, and that's a congresswoman who called it that at the Occupy Oakland protests. These people weren't armed,
right?
And they weren't attacking.
Then they were coming to aid someone, and then they threw the flash grenade.
Exactly.
Into
the
crowd too.
And you know what? Our conservative friends will say, "Yeah, well, they smashed a window." Someone did smash a window.
Probably agent provocateur, which has, you know, always been the case with these in
that's,
the 60s,
that's
too.
A possibility.
And that wouldn't surprise me. You liberals smashing windows. You know what? If you're smashing a window, you're not a liberal.
Exactly.
And you're not a conservative. You're just a douche. And it was done. A window was smashed at a Starbucks, which I take offense at, not just because I'm a speed addict, but also because...
Well, clearly it was a right winger if they smashed a Starbucks.
Well, but here's the thing. Starbucks makes a product. You know, it wasn't Starbucks that caused our economy to crash. Right. You may not like some of their practices or their coffee, but they make something, okay? AIG doesn't make anything. These Wall Street firms that were able to mind meld with our banks after a Democratic president helped repeal Glass-Steagall, on his watch at least. After Glass-Steagall was repealed and there was no wall between these gambling agencies and our banks, which caused this crisis, not poor black folks trying to get home
loans. It's a room
full
of black guys,
as our caller John from Amherst said.
Mm-hmm. There are people who shouldn't have houses. They can't handle it.
Exactly. What do I always say on this show? Rich people pay Fox people to make middle-class people blame poor people.
Right.
That's how it works. It's very, very efficient. But it wasn't them who caused it. So, you know, this protest is not against places like Starbucks or industries that build things, even if you don't like the products. These predatory lenders in these banks are in bed with the AIGs, with these financial firms that don't make anything. All they are is respectable gambling establishments. And none too respectable at that. So, you know what, man? Someone at Occupy Wall Street movement smashing a window is no less self-destructive than a Tea Party. You're calling John Lewis the N-word on the Capitol steps.
Sure.
You're only hurting your own cause. And no one who's a real conservative would do that anyway, or a real liberal would do that. So just as a year ago we saw the Tea Party forced to expel the racists, we may have to see the same thing with this movement. Jim?
I was just saying that the banks, what they make are these opaque financial instruments, as they're called, like credit default swaps and collateralized debt obligations, which is just a way of ripping people off. Selling them a bill of goods, bundling these crappy mortgages in with legitimate,
stuff. Yeah, and again, you know, if you want to learn more about derivatives and how this really works, I can't recommend Michael Moore's film, Capitalism, A Love Story. It's the best movie he's ever made. It may have been the best movie of 2009. Nobody saw it in the theaters. It's on video. Do yourself a favor, folks. If you ever like Michael Moore, and again, this is a film your conservative friends can like, because Capitalism, A Love Story does what Inside Job, last year's Oscar winner for documentary, did. It points the finger at both parties. Mm-hmm. And the biggest distinction, I'm on all these TV shows and they're asking me to compare Occupy Wall Street to the Tea Party. The biggest distinction is the Tea Party is not a real party. They're Republicans. They're all going to vote Republicans. Some of them are embarrassed Republicans playing camouflage under this new umbrella, but they're not a party. They're Republicans. Occupy Wall Street, there's a lot of support for Obama there, but in general, it is a protest against the two-party system that allowed this to happen, and that's the biggest difference.
And so there. Might I say that Capitalism, A Love Story is available on Netflix streaming as well.
Yeah,
so you don't even need to go down to the video store.
I mean, if you hear me and Jim talk about credit swaps, it's mind-boggling how complicated it is. It's like BCCI in the 80s. These companies hire mathematicians to make their rip-off Ponzi schemes so complex that it's hard for ordinary, small-minded mortals like us to understand it. But let me tell you, thank God for filmmakers that make movies like Inside Job and Capitalism, A Love Story, because you owe it to yourself if you care about this democracy. Check these films, educate yourself, because the more progressives are able to make the case to their conservative neighbors about how they got ripped off, too, by the upper 1%, the closer we come to restoring the promise of a decent America and having income equality.
The only reason Bernie Madoff is in prison is because he ripped off rich people.
Exactly. He got caught doing it. If he'd been ripping off, you know, poor people like banks, he would have gotten bailed out. And again, I said this in the first hour. If you're in pro baseball and you're betting on your own team to fail, you're going to be banned for life. If you're in a bank and you're betting along with AIG on your own mortgages to fail, you're
going to
get bailed out.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this is if ever there was a place, and we had a Tea Party, you're calling the first hour, and I would love to see not a melding of these two groups. They'll never see eye to eye on things. But if we can get more coalitions going between conservatives and liberals, and I know it sounds stupid and crazy, but if we could find certain areas where liberals and conservatives agree on, where is there overlap with the Tea Party and the Occupy Wall Street movement? Just like, you know, atheists need to find ways where they can form coalitions on certain issues with Christian groups. You're in an atheist society, you want to be taken seriously, you care about homelessness, find a local church and work as equals with the people you normally oppose, and that's how you win people over to a cause. And coalitions is the only way anything ever happens in politics, and we're learning that a refusal to make any coalitions makes nothing happen in politics in D.C. right now. So there. Jim, you were great. Jim, you were so funny on stage the other night. I'm sorry, man. They gave me some horrible coffee here. It's wonderful. But we premiered our tour in Los Angeles last weekend, and Jim Ward just brought the house down, opening every night with his impressions. And I just wanted to salute you on the radio and what a great comedic presence you were. Are we going to see you this weekend? Are you going to come join us in San Fran?
I don't think so. I'd like to, but I mean. We've got an opening act up there, and I could be on the panel, but With that many people on stage, I don't think I'd be trying to contribute much.
Folks, I'm now putting out a call for Hands Across Jim Ward. If you want to see Jim Ward join us here in San Francisco this week, if you want to hear Jim Ward come out, please donate heavily and get Jim some first-class airfare to come on up here. And, Jim, you can stay in my hotel room, or I know a couple of guys with really good tents down by Embarcadero you can crash in.
Actually, a friend of the show in Sausalito who was offered.
Yeah, I'm going to pressure you all morning to come on up. You could be here by 8 o'clock tonight, Jim. That's all I'm saying. Okay. That's all I'm saying. We'd love to have you. Shall we take some calls, Chris?
Yes. I was just finding the Hands Across America song.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my
Hands
God.
Hands Across Jim.
I am turning up the collar of my Izod polo shirt right now, just hearing that song.
Oh, there's Kenny Rogers.
Good time.
Anything funnier than earnest liberals of the 80s? I don't know what. It's hilarious.
We are the world.
By the way, I want to thank you all for your positive Twitter comments, even people who are angry that I admitted that Madonna lip syncs, because she does sometimes. But I'm at John Fugelsang on Twitter. Jim, you're on Twitter now, right?
Theoretically.
Voice Jim Deity Ward, Jim.
Voice Deity Jim on Twitter. Theoretically, you can follow him. And Chris, you're at Radio Guy Chris?
That's right.
Please follow us all on Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, whoever you are, we've always depended on the tweets of strangers. Ishmael.
Well, let's take a really quick break first, and then we'll go right to Ishmael.
Call him Ishmael.
Yes,
we'll call you Ishmael.
Who's in D.C. We'll be right back.
Right back after this.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Fugelsang, filling in from Green 960, and this is Hands Across America.
Hands Across Jim Ward.
Yes, later on we'll be having Hands Across Chris Christie.
That's a lot of hands.
Not funny.
No.
Not a funny joke. No. That was ironically mocking people who would make a joke like that. That's all that was. Please spare me your hate tweets. But we are broadcasting today the Stephanie Miller Show live from Green 960 in beautiful San Francisco, where the sun has just begun to rise. At least I think it's the sun. No one here has ever actually seen it.
Only in October. September and October do they really see the sun a whole lot.
Yeah,
there.
It's beautiful here. Yeah. The weather was great yesterday at Occupy San Francisco. And we are here because we are bringing the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, featuring myself, Hal Sparks, and Stephanie Miller to the Orpheum Theater for two nights. I'm going to be at Occupy Oakland this morning from about 10:30 or 11 on, and we were going to be giving out tickets, donating tickets to all of our awesomely nonviolent demonstrators at Occupy Oakland as a way of artists thanking the 99%. We are also donating a portion of the proceeds from this weekend's concerts to the medical bills of Scott Olson, the Iraq war vet who was hit in the head with a canister of tear gas. In every town, we pick a local cause to donate to, and we couldn't think of anything more appropriate this week than helping out Scott Olson. So please come on down to our shows. Tonight, there are still some seats available. Tomorrow night's mostly sold out, but you can go to sexyliberal.com for the tickets for that, or go to the Orpheum Theater box office, and or come to see me at Occupy Oakland, and you might get some freebies later on this morning. On the air with Chris LaVoy and Jim Ward. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we have Ishmael, who's at Occupy D.C.
Hey. Hi, Ishmael.
Good morning, John. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for waiting.
Anytime. And we have a couple of things going on for us. Last night we had a candlelight for the young gentleman got injured in Oakland. And yesterday morning we walk around K Street, and we are combined right now across the street one lobby office that basically is a support of what they call Citibank. They lobby for Citibank and Bank of America and all that. So we sit in front of them. So just stand in them, see what they see and what they're up to. And the other thing, tomorrow we have a huge thing going on, and we were going to be at the Capitol and Capitol Home, and Tom Hartman is going to be speaking up there by noon Eastern time. So we have the Coffee USA coming in town, and they're going to support us, and tomorrow's going to be a great day, even though the weather's not going to be that good, but we don't care, rain or shine, we're going to be up there. And the other thing I want to mention to you is, like, when you get a chance, please listen to what they call Paul Ryan, his interview with NPR. What he said was, it was the question asked about him. So when the CBO released a couple of days ago about the different equality and how the economy is, like, favoring 1%, the rest of it is, like, below. Basically, he said, you know, that's not a problem. You know, as long as people work, it's not going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So it was like very hard hearing. And my friend Republican are listening to the show, please take a look at that CPO, because we printed out and we started delivering to the K Street lobbyists who lobbied for the financial regulations and all that. We took
right
it to their a couple of them last day. We printed out and we went to their office and we delivered to them. And the security guard, they were asked, even the security guard and the cops here are very nice. And they were asking us, they were like, what are you guys up to? And we said, we have this message to deliver, and we know this is a private building, but can you please put on the lobby or, like, take it to their office? And the security guard said, I can do that.
Listen, Ishmael, if I may call you Ishmael, really quick, in 10 seconds, okay, what do you say when you hear people say, well, what's the message of your Occupy movement? What is your response in 10 seconds or less?
My response is first of all, I'm from Norway.
10 seconds.
I'm from Norway. Education was free up there. What I'm saying is that even though, like, this is a capitalist system on it, please at least understand you have to be more and equal justice for the people. No student loans on it. Job equals for everyone. No more poverty on it. No going after the people who cannot support themselves on it. No favoring only 1% or one group that has the money and everything on it. We had
I think we're over 10 seconds, but I agree with everything you said. Ishmael, thank you so much, and thanks for all the hard work you're doing down in Occupy D.C.
Yay.
What a man, what a man.
Yep.
You know, and he talks about student loans. I got to say, when you look at all the bailouts we've had for the banking industries, for the people who ripped us off, don't you think that maybe, just maybe, bailing out student loans, bailing out people with foreclosed mortgages, bailing out credit card debt, a bailout for the 99%, don't you think these are the sort of things that would flood the economy with new dollars? I mean, if we ever in Fantasyland had a Jubilee movement for this country and forgave everyone's credit card debt, you know what people would do? They'd start spending again.
Absolutely.
They'd reset the whole thing. I was on Chris Hayes' show with an author who's an anthropologist who was talking about the history of debt.
Mm-hmm.
And and his whole thesis was how we had debt before we had money. And money grew as a response to debt. It wasn't not the other way around. You think you have money and then people have debts. No, it used to be, hey, give me one of your cows and I'll owe you 10 chickens next year.
Right.
Debt came before money, and money came as a way of substituting, having a product to trade in debt situations, right? Well, in the ancient Mesopotamian societies, 3,000 years B.C., when they had a big problem with a debt society, you know what they did? They wiped the slate clean, and people started over again.
Wow.
And it worked. Think about that as a revolutionary concept for America, because forgiving debt here might give China some good ideas. 1-800-STEP-12.
Every little boy wants to grow up to nail the doctor or the lawyer. Somebody's got to nail
Stephanie Miller.
Who hasn't? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Fugelsang, filling in for Steph today, broadcasting from Green 960 here in San Francisco, where the big sexy liberal comedy tour is playing at the Orpheum Theater tonight and tomorrow night. Some seats still available for tonight. I will be at Occupy Oakland later this morning, donating tickets to the demonstrators. I'd like to point out that we will be donating a portion of the proceeds of these concerts to Scott Olson's medical bills. He, of course, is the Iraq war vet who was injured at Occupy Oakland two nights ago. And Miley Cyrus is covering Bob Dylan for an Amnesty International tribute album.
What?
Just thought I'd throw that in. Yes, Miley Cyrus.
Dude?
And
oh.
Yikes. There's going to be Chimes of Freedom, songs of Bob Dylan honoring 50 years of Amnesty International, featuring covers by Patti Smith, Sting, Dave Matthews Band, and Miley Cyrus. So, look forward to that. And Kesha, too.
No.
I sentence you to Kesha.
Oh.
Yes. So, I just thought I'd throw that in to wake you up in case you don't have speed to that's pretty disturbing. God bless. I hope Miley enjoys lip-syncing that in concert. So I'm very excited about our next guest here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Annabelle Park is the founder of the Coffee Party, which is a growing grassroots democracy movement with over 500,000 people in the network. I'm a fan on Facebook. She's a Maryland-based writer, filmmaker, and speaker who's known for her innovative work in Netroots grassroots activism, and we are very, very pleased to welcome back to the show Annabelle Park. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you
guys? What a pleasure. Great. How are you?
Great.
It's great to have you here. As I was saying before we came to you, Annabelle, I'm up here in San Francisco. I had the honor of being at the Occupy San Francisco demonstration yesterday, and I'll be at Occupy Oakland today. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, it must be very satisfying for you as the founder of the Coffee Party movement to see this taking root.
It's a miracle. It really is. It's something that I think many of us have been praying for. So it's just an enormous opportunity to really have an honest confrontation with our lawmakers, with Washington, about what's really wrong. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a huge opportunity, and we're really trying to figure out how to go from the grievances and the personal struggles into a conversation about real solutions that will have lasting institutional impact.
I got to say, the slogan that we are the 99% is a great first step. It's really very inspiring, and it's also refreshingly inclusive of all Americans, regardless of their political affiliation.
Yes, and I think that, you know, I definitely see 1%ers also supporting what the 99% would like, because they are patriotic. And in fact, tomorrow we have a rally in which we have patriotic millionaires coming to support the 99% in Washington, all speaking with the same voice that things have to change, and it's for the good of everyone in the country.
Now, I want to ask you about this rally, because it sounds very inspiring to me. This is a citizens' intervention rally. Is that what it's being called?
Yes, we're calling it an intervention because we feel like Washington has a sickness, and it has to be confronted in a way that would lead to it getting help. It's not just a denunciation. We're there to say we want to work together as Americans to fix what's really broken and what's really sick about Washington that's getting in the way of prosperity, getting in the way of people getting real help.
And this is October 29th at the Capitol?
Yes, in front of the Capitol, yeah. And we're calling it a filibuster as well, because we're going to have hundreds of people speaking out, speaking in a personal voice about how the dysfunction and corruption are just completely devastating their lives. And they're coming from all over the country. Tom Hartman will be there, Larry Lessig, Buddy Romer is going to be there, Joe Sestak, many wonderful people will be there to support these Americans speaking up.
That is quite a lineup. I think if you're east of the Mississippi, you have to go to D.C. tomorrow morning for the Enough is Enough rally. If you're west of the Mississippi, you have to come to see us at the Orpheum Theater in San Francisco. Annabelle, I'm wondering, what kind of coalitions have you assembled for this rally tomorrow?
You know, it's really interesting. I mean, what we're trying to do is bring together the occupiers with the Coffee Party members, with groups like Common Cause and Public Citizen, all the good groups that have been working for many years in Washington, along with people inside Washington, real insiders and academics and policy analysts, like all the people who have been thinking about the same questions, maybe approaching it differently, all coming together to say, we need a national dialogue about solutions. We cannot go forward continuing like this. It can't be business as usual from here on.
Amen. Do you think there's any hope for any conservative, progressive coalitions in this kind of movement? We had a Tea Party caller earlier today who was, you know, agreeing with a lot of the points of the Occupy Wall Street movement. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any chance that we can find common ground on these issues?
Yeah, you know, the way I want to think about it is not necessarily coalition building between conservatives and liberals, but for all of us to transcend our political affiliations and meet each other as human beings, as fellow Americans, and say, can we do something together to really make changes so that all of us are better off? And I think that's what we need. We need to humanize this instead of sort of continuing to politicize and to get this kind of gridlock. It's a gridlock is in Washington, but it's also a state of mind. We get stuck thinking using these constructs and not able to see each other as people, as friends, as neighbors, as people who can help us improve our country.
I couldn't agree more. It's a pretty inspiring idea. Now, can anyone speak at this, or is your lineup pretty set? You do have a very, very attractive lineup with Joe Sestak and Tom Hartman tomorrow. It sounds like a great event. But is this going to be the sort of thing where people can speak and have their voices heard?
Yeah, actually, we do have a permit, and we have it until sunrise. And even though we have been having people sign up online, so it's pretty full until about 10 o'clock, we still have room after 10 for people to speak up. So you can come, and it is open mic. You can sign up. And it's going to be, the way I want to see it, it's going to be like Lollapalooza meets, you know, Frank Capra, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, because there's going to be a lot of fun as well. We're going to have hip-hop artists and bands and DJs and dance groups, all basically really celebrating free speech for the people.
Sounds like a riot. Can I give you some advice? If you want to get the mainstream liberal media to cover you, wear tea bags on your clothing. Because that causes like flies. You know, I don't know what it is, but if you wear tea bags, that liberal media is all over.
Well, they make coffee bags now, too.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's true.
We're going to have coffee beans.
There you go.
Now, a lot of folks out there might not know what the coffee party is, and I think the coffee party is a real neat idea, and there's many different organizations on Facebook of the coffee party people can join. Can you explain how you came to create that, Annabelle?
Yeah, it was completely by accident. This was back in January of last year. Utterly frustrated by both Citizens United ruling and also how the Tea Party was dominating our political discourse. And I just felt the need to feel represented in that narrative in Washington. And so I just said on Facebook, let's start something else. Let's start the coffee party. And it just went viral. I started a fan page that went viral. And it just, within a matter of weeks, people were starting local chapters. And we were, calling for national meetings and dialogue. And it's grown steadily to 500,000 people and lots of local chapters as well. And it's a very simple idea. You know, we really want to make dialogue the first step to our democracy. If we can't talk to each other, if we hate each other, how can we have a democracy that functions?
Well, we don't, and that's exactly what we're seeing played out right now. I mean, for all you want to say about Newt Gingrich, those guys were eventually forced into working with Bill Clinton. Of course, Newt's going around bragging about all the compromise he made with Bill Clinton now after fighting everything with him back in the 90s, but we don't see that now. All politics is built on compromise, and yet we have this generation of politicians that think compromise equals weakness rather than compromise equals results.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's very unfortunate that we think of politics like a sport. There are clear winners and losers. It's a game. And I think that's a mentality that we have to move away from, because democracy essentially is a collective decision-making process in which many voices can be heard and we can fairly deliberate and come to a vote. And
I agree with you in theory, but at the same time, I think that in many ways, talking about politics like it's sports is actually good in terms of getting people engaged and involved. And I would say that only in sports talk can you hear people disagree passionately, but they still get along. I'd like to see political discussions be more like sports talk, where people can disagree, but you still get a sense of camaraderie, that they're on the same side, that, you know, we're rooting for the same team, even if we have different ideas about how to win.
I agree with you. It's just that it's not a fair game right now because it feels so rigged against the people that it's very hard to kind of get that sportsmanlike attitude. Like, yeah, we can fight about it and then we can go home and have beer and whatever. We don't have that sense of fairness that right now more or less governs real sports. And so that's why I think it's difficult to just keep it at that level. Like, we can be sportsmanlike. We can't, because people are really suffering, and it is essentially rigged.
Well, I think you're right about that. The game is rigged, and so it's up to some of us to shine a light on it. And that's certainly what y'all are doing at the Enough is Enough rally tomorrow morning at 11:30 at the Capitol. One last question really quickly. Coffee Party USA, I love how you're a grassroots nonpartisan movement, and you guys do, I will say, have a lot more criticism of the Democratic Party than I've heard from the Tea Party of the Republican Party. But your focus is on Wall Street reform, campaign finance reform, and tax code reform. What does the Coffee Party think kind of reform is needed for the U.S. tax code?
Well, there are basically, with all of those things, there are enormous loopholes. There are loopholes to power and wealth that we have to close. And so we do support, for instance, the financial transaction tax. You know, we support ending subsidies to oil and gas companies. And, you know, and it's not that it's the only thing that that we want to stop in terms of subsidies, but it sets an important precedent, and there's actually bipartisan support for ending subsidies to oil companies. And so with you know, real legislative remedies like that, we can really begin to close the loophole. You know, the capital gains is another one.
Mm-hmm.
Until we plug these loopholes and we really commit to focusing on the revenue problem, because really our country is going broke in part because our tax code is broken and we have to confront this reality.
And you know what? You mentioned two great things, oil subsidies and capital gains. I mean, those aren't great things, but those to me seem like two areas where progressives could bring conservatives out of the matrix. You know,
mm-hmm.
the right uses language to disguise all this. Oil subsidies are talking about pro-growth for the job creators. Capital gains tax is now called the death tax, or the, you know, what used to be called the estate tax. Aren't those areas where we could reach conservatives? Where I'm thinking, if I'm a real conservative, mm-hmm. I'd be disgusted at how we're just throwing corporate welfare at oil companies, and disgusted mm-hmm. at capital gains, and how this is people who don't work and yet their income's not taxed, while people who do work have their income taxed.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's a real test, in fact, of true conservatives. If they are truly conservative, they should care about things like corporate welfare and just intrinsic fairness.
Right.
And
on.
So absolutely, we can definitely gain their. I think it's so much of this is about trust. That mm-hmm. we are doing this in the interest of the American people. This isn't just to win elections. And I think once we can really establish some trust, we can work with anyone. Anyone who cares about this country should support these things.
Absolutely. Annabelle Park is the founder of the Coffee Party movement, and she is one of the sponsors of Enough is Enough, the Citizens Intervention Rally being held tomorrow. That's Saturday, the 29th of October at 11:30 at the West Front Lawn of the U.S. Capitol. Annabelle, thank you for all you do.
I just wanted to give people the URL. It's citizensintervention.com. And come check us out. We have
check
a petition
out.
Paper on there as well. So you can
even
read
if you
about
can't make it. Even if you can't make it to D.C., check out the site. Annabelle,
yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank
it's the
you,
Stephanie Miller Show. We'll be taking your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12.
A whole new level of disturbing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show, featuring R.E.M. with Mike Mills on lead vocals with Superman, coming to you from Green 960 here in San Francisco, where we are performing the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour tonight and tomorrow. Some tickets still available for tonight. Proceeds will go to help fund the medical bills of Scott Olson, the Iraq War vet injured in the Occupy Oakland protests. We're taking your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12. We have some great people on hold. We're going to try to get to all of you. I want to let you know, coming up in the next hour, we're going to have special guests Will Durst, Emmy Award winner Rick Overton, and Tina Dupuy of Crooks and Liars, some great comedians calling in to join us. But for now, let's go to Jen in Sacramento. Are you there, Jen?
All right. There we go.
are you there, Jen?
Jennifer.
I am now.
Hey, Jennifer.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Hi. First of all, I've previously been crowned the official public defender of the Stephanie Miller Show, and I'm looking forward to hopefully helping out these people who've been arraigned for protesting here in Sacramento.
That's very, very sexy. You can approach my bench anytime.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I will be there tonight with my husband, and I'm so excited to see you guys. Is it really a meet and grope? I'm really looking forward to it.
If you bought the meet and grope tickets, you'll be in the meet and grope, so absolutely.
You're
one of those untouchables. Well, then if you hang out outside, I can definitely probably you'll be able to meet and grope us, or if not at San Francisco, you can find someone just as good.
Lovely. Thank you. I'm looking forward to meeting you guys.
Can't wait to see you tonight. Thank you very much.
Hooray.
Let's go to Karen in Los Angeles. Are you there, Karen? Good morning.
Yes, yes. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Yes, I'm the wife of the Republican. That was at the show Saturday?
In Los Angeles, yes.
In Los Angeles. Let me explain it. At every show we do on the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tour, I always ask, without being mean, I always ask for any Republicans in the House to identify themselves, and I make the entire crowd cheer for them and give them a lot of love, because I think that's what real liberals do. So did your husband have a good time?
My husband has never never laughed that hard in his life.
At us bashing his ideology?
We've been married for 26 years, and he had such a good time. He actually is slowly converting.
he's not the only one.
He's a lifelong Republican, but last election he voted for Obama. He now watches MSNBC.
Wow.
He listens to Stephanie Miller on the way to work.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, what a guy.
Oh, yeah, he's getting there. He's not ready to change affiliation, but he doesn't like what the Republicans have become. So, but he had so much fun, and on my son, who is 18, got to sit next to him while he saw teabagging. So,
oh, how was that, experiencing a teabagging demonstration with your son?
Well, one of us will probably be in therapy, but you know.
Yes, I'd like to point out that is not me. I do a routine on teabagging in discussing it with my father, but I that's actually Stephanie and Hal who mime the act for the undeserving crowd.
Yeah, I actually told him ahead of time. I said, look, I said, when that happens, I said, I do not look at me.
Oh, wow. So you actually...
Do not discuss.
You brought a kid. You're proof of my theory that this is a perfect show for the children of unfit parents. And I want to thank you for... Thank you so much.
He's 18. He's in college now. So,
oh, okay. Right.
And he's certainly able to deal with it.
He hears much worse things from his socialist communist professors, I'm sure. But I'm so glad. You know what? At every show we have, there's always some Republicans there. They're usually captive husbands, and we try to make it as much fun for them as possible. You know, we don't attack people. We attack politicians, and politicians are not people. Corporations are.
There
so
you
thank
go.
You so
there
much.
You know,
what
he
a pleasure.
Was very thrilled that you gave him a hug at the greet and group. So
oh, I did? Oh, God, okay. I didn't realize that. I got to go de-louse now. Okay. Well, thank you.
He's converting. He's converting.
All right.
Listen, my love to your husband. Thank you so much for coming to our show. And
okay,
thanks
guys.
For spreading the word. Right on. See this? You can even bring Republicans
that's
to
right.
the show. That's how sexy and how liberal it is. And yeah, you can come and I actually met that. I did meet that guy at the meet and greet, and he came up to me and he identified himself as the Republican, and I said, "Well, hug a leftist." So. do we have time for another call, Chris?
Yeah. Yeah, let's go ahead. No, how about let's go to Mary in San Francisco. Hey, Mary, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hello. Yes, the official independent bookseller of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes. Oh, that's very sexy.
To make a special welcoming invitation to Mr. Jim Ward. Please come to San Francisco. We miss you. Sausalito's lovely right now. We've got beautiful skies all weekend. There's no smog or anything. It's just clear and lovely and warm. And I miss the Queen. I miss the Pat Robertson cooking show, which always makes me hungry.
Jim, that is one impression you did not do on stage. Yeah,
and I would love to get the unique perspective of Herman Cain, as interpreted by Mr. Jim Ward. And Tom Brokaw could moderate. It could be wonderful. Please, sir, I want some more.
Oh, my God. Hmm. Well,
independent bookseller making a Dickens reference.
I know. I think Herman Cain imagines... Herman Cain would like a more Dickensian society.
That's how crazy I am. Collector I get every single one of your references.
Oh,
every
wow.
One.
How cool. There, you're the one.
We used to shout Monty Python lines to each other at college. UCSC, so, you know. I'm totally there. Please, please, sir. I flew up to L.A. last weekend. You can fly down here.
Ah, very nice.
I missed the show because I didn't have tickets, but I was in L.A. visiting my family in Pasadena, so I was nearly there.
Well, that's my kind of peer pressure. I think Jim Ward should feel very, very put on the spot and feel more obligated to come up.
All right.
By the way, quoting Monty Python in college never got me sex even once. we'll be taking your calls after the break and joined by Will Durst. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
In It's the Stephanie Miller Show, coming to you from Green 960 this morning, broadcasting live from San Francisco. I'm John Fugelsang, filling in for Steph. We are launching the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour Wing of San Francisco this evening at the Orpheum Theater at 8 p.m. Some seats still available, and tomorrow night as well, which is mostly sold out. As we previously announced this morning, we are donating blocks of tickets this time to Occupy San Francisco and Occupy Oakland. I was at the San Francisco demonstration yesterday. I'll be heading down to Occupy Oakland this morning around 10:30, where we will be having sort of an artist thank the 99% and donating tickets to people who've been down there doing some awesome and let's face it, nonviolent protest. The overwhelming majority of it is nonviolent. We want to reward them and thank them for their service. And we're going to be donating a portion of our profits from the show to the medical expenses of Scott Olson, Iraq war vet, injured by a tear gas canister in the head two nights ago. We're very proud to be assisting him. So please come on down and support us. Either come to the show or come to Occupy Oakland today. We'd love to see you. And, boy, fellas, I couldn't be more excited about who I suckered into calling up early in the morning to be a guest on this show. If you care about political comedy in this country in the past few years, you are a fan of this man. Please welcome to the show, live via telephone, Mr. Will Durst. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Fugelsang, how you doing, man?
not too shabby. Will, how are you? Good morning.
Everything's good. Welcome to Townsend Street, within spitting distance of AT&T Park.
That's right. That's very true. Yes, I could actually hit it with sputum from here. It's great to have you here. There's so much I want to ask you about. I've been such a fan of yours for so long, Will, and I thank you for calling us. And, you know, we'll get to Occupy, but first and foremost, I want to ask you where you stand on the current state of the Obama reelection committee. Of course, I'm talking about the GOP field for president.
Man, they are doing all of his work for him, aren't they?
Amazing. It's just shocking.
I haven't seen a motley crew like this for a long time.
Obama could have Danny Bonaduce as a running mate and beat these guys. It's incredible.
Well, everybody who jumps in the race, I mean, they're playing a game of anybody but Romney. I get the feeling that Michael Moore could announce, and he would assume top position.
he's polling higher among Republicans than Romney. It's true. Only half of Republicans hate Michael Moore. Three-quarters hate Romney.
He can't get above 25%. I mean, they're
exactly right. His poll numbers have stayed as immobile as his hair in a hurricane wind.
Yeah, he looks like he's been dipped in a polyurethane bath.
Will, is this a repeat of 2008 when the GOP was forced to have a nominee that mostly their party just didn't like that much?
You know, the parallels are startling. You remember... I don't think we know who the nominee is going to be. Remember, John McCain had pretty much stepped on his own foot, shall we say, 4 years ago, and he was written off at this time. And then somehow he was able to get everybody together and, you know, put the wagons in a circle, and he came back, and he won New Hampshire. And I think he was pulling it like Giuliani was the nominee 4 years ago, if I remember correctly. So I don't know if Herman Cain or, you know, Perry may come back or Gingrich, although I think Gingrich blew it because at the end of the last debate, he announced that if he was the nominee, he was going to challenge Obama to a series of 7 3-hour debates. And for everybody watching, they would say, like, promising a guy with heartburn that you were going to, you know, just feed him jalapeno burritos for the next 2 weeks. Well, sour cream had curdled.
In fairness to Newt Gingrich, and how often do I get to say that sentence? In fairness to him, I think, you know, he knows that the only thing people like him for is his debating skills, and that's a much better strength than, say, oh, his entire personal or legislative record. But speaking
like
of Gingrich, you know...
Now, doesn't he?
Well, Gingrich got in a fight with another girl this week, which he's doing very well in the campaign, with Meghan McCain pointing out that he's polling the same way her father was polling in 2007. But I'm glad you mentioned John McCain, Will, because one of the things I found inspiring about 2008 on both parties is that you're right. In both parties, the bosses in the media decided who the nominees were going to be. It was going to be Giuliani, and it was going to be Hillary Clinton. And in both parties, the voters took the parties back from the establishment. But I don't think I see that happening. I think Romney is the establishment candidate, and the fact that he's the only one who hasn't actually drooled in a debate yet.
Well, Rick Perry, poor baby. I mean, he even admitted that he, you know, his debates are not a strong suit. No, not your strong suit, not your weak suit, not your leadership suit, not your space suit, not your suit.
Yeah, I want to go negotiate with Putin. Yeah, I want to negotiate with Putin because I lost a debate to Herman Cain.
Interesting. The creepy ad, though. I don't know if you saw the creepy ad.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I did.
With the
guy
smoking at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
That man's name is Mark Block. He's Cain's campaign manager. He's a guy who was accused of voter suppression and banned from running Wisconsin political campaigns for 3 years. And he's the guy running Herman Cain's campaign chain smoking.
That's my guy.
And by the way, I got those stats about him from FoxNews.com. Even they're reporting on it.
Wow.
What do you think of Herman Cain? Are you enjoying this sideshow, Will?
The creepy part of that ad is I like the verite with Block,
Me too.
The shaky camera and the smoking and the jump cuts. I like that. The creepy part is the three-quarter face shot of Herman Cain when he slowly
the 8-second smile.
Smiles to the camera. That's the creepy part.
Yeah, it is, and it's the weird thing because Herman Cain's at his best when he's talking. He's a very entertaining guy. All of the campaign commercials I've seen are other people talking for him, and him having that creepy Big Brother smile at the end.
Yeah, you're right. He can talk. I mean, he knows how to give a speech. He knows how to rally the troops. But I'm not sure foreign policy.
Who's going to make a stance there?
I actually have this theory, Will, that in the early 80s, Andy Kaufman devised a prank that involved faking his death, turning black, and running Godfather's Pizza. And any minute, Herman's going to rip the mask off, and Milos Forman and Jim Carrey have to make a sequel.
My favorite, I think, was this week when Pat Robertson said that the Republican candidates are too extreme. Pat Robertson said that.
Yeah.
That's like having your drug intervention hosted by Lindsay Lohan. And Charlie Sheen's driving the van.
Well, it's very true. And Pat Robertson, of course, came out yesterday and said that Christians shouldn't go to any Occupy Wall Street movements, as opposed to the Tea Party, which is so in line with helping the poor.
Yeah, they're climbing all over themselves trying to, make the distinctions between these two things. You saw the whole Cantor thing where Cantor mm-hmm. said, these are the friends of America and then get out there and join them. And then, I don't think dividing America is the right way. And, yeah. White men speak from forked tongue.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, do you think we're going to see anything happening in the Republican field, or is it just pretty much a lock that Romney's already raising the funds and he's just going to sail on through to an easy nomination? I mean, we don't have Christie, we don't have Jeb Bush, we don't have Marco Rubio. I mean, I think
Haley
John
Barber.
I think John Thune actually had a pretty good shot at being the dark horse candidate and doing what Huntsman doesn't seem to do. Huntsman is just begging to be the flavor of the week just for half a day. I mean,
kind of get skipped over.
Huntsman and Rick Santorum are like, why can't we be flavor of the week? Why does Herman get it? Do you think we're going to see any change in this field?
No, I think it's Stalin. I think there's reasons why Sarah and Christie and Haley aren't jumping in.
What is the reason?
I don't think we'll ever know. But
what's the reason?
I don't think we'll ever know. I think they're all individual. I think Christie might have been counseled that this is not your year. This is not a Republican year. I don't care who's running against Obama. Unless they get, if it's a game changer that they bring Cain in as the VP, but that would be scary.
I don't think they'd ever do it. Nope. I actually think Herman Cain is auditioning for Roger Ailes, and that's what this whole campaign is about.
Oh, well, he's got it already.
He can talk.
He's like the Michael Steele can actually talk.
Yeah, I mean, well, Michael Steele can talk. Okay, he's a good talker. I mean, I've been on TV with him before. He's a pretty fluid guy. He talks in circles sometimes when it comes to logic. But when I watch these debates, and I do love these debates very, very deeply, it seems to me that there's only two guys on that stage who aren't running for vice president, and that's Perry and Romney. These guys know they're not going to be asked to be VP, and that's why they can hate each other so much.
Yeah, Perry, another governor from Texas. That's what this country needs.
Oh, another oil company shill governor from Texas. Do you? It's,
and
it seems
species jumping hookworms. More of those, too, please.
Well, it seems like Perry's starting to fight back now. He did raise a lot of money in that 1 month when he was the front runner, and he's begun to spend it. He rolled out the flat tax plan the other day, so Steve Forbes had his first orgasm in 20 years. And it seems like it does seem like Perry's beginning to push back a bit and even announcing that he might skip debates. That didn't hurt George Bush when Bush ran remember back in 07 when that campaign began, candidate Bush skipped as many debates as he could until it got to primary season, and it didn't hurt him one bit. Do you think that Rick Perry has a chance to turn it around?
Well, they got to do debates in Iowa and New Hampshire. They can't skip Iowa and New Hampshire because those states take it personal. And I still don't understand why those two states are the bellwethers of America. And you've been there, John. I mean, you're whiter than the Osmond family Christmas in Norway. What do they have to do with America? If New Hampshire were any more Caucasian, it would be translucent.
And you're talking to John Fugelsang here.
Yeah, I know, right? I ran a kabuki mind troupe for anemics. That's how white I am. Well, but let's be fair now. The reason Barack Obama's president is because Iowa caucus went for him. I mean, he was the big surprise in Iowa. So, you know, they may
Iowa
be pretty
Democrats
white, but
are different than Iowa Republicans.
That's very true. You know, a majority of Iowa Republicans still aren't convinced Obama was born in this country after the birth certificate was released. I'm not making that up. That's true.
Is that true? Over 50%?
Yeah. Yes. In a poll that was taken last summer, yeah, they still question his country of origin.
I'm not sure they know that Hawaii is a state yet.
Well, Will,
it's only
been
52 years.
What do you think is the strongest possible ticket for the GOP against Obama Biden in 2012?
The strongest for them, or the strongest for Obama?
I think Obama Clinton is the strongest ticket for Obama. But what do you think the strongest GOP ticket could be?
I think it would be Romney Huntsman.
Really interesting. Mormon? You think that'll ever happen? That's like
yeah, good point.
That's balance for the ticket.
Religion, but I think Huntsman brings a certain amount of statesmanship. I think he's the only one, even though he wouldn't agree on a 1-10 split on revenue enhancement and tax cuts, but he's the only one who believes in global warming. He thinks that the evidence is in, and that's why I like him. He sounds like a reasonable guy, because there are so many dogmatic fences in the Republican Party that you're not allowed to cross. You're not allowed to say you believe in global warming. I mean, how hard is that? You don't have to blame the oil companies. You can just say you don't believe, you believe in global warming.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's true.
The permafrost is melting. Never in the history of civilization has the permafrost ever melted, hence its name.
Pat Robertson did commercials saying that global warming's real. Pat Robertson sat down with Al Sharpton and broke bread and did commercials for that. And still, you'd think that if you call yourself conservative, you can win some votes on an anti-pollution platform. It's complete insanity. But I'll also point out to you, John Huntsman's the guy who tried making a Nirvana joke at a GOP debate, okay? That's how he's got the pulse on his finger on the pulse.
You gotta love him.
My goodness. Well, what else is on your radar, Will? What else are you fired up about?
I'm just glad that you hit town, and I'm glad that the rolling tour has come to San Francisco. How's the reaction been on the road?
It's been really wonderful, and I give Stephanie all the credit, because she has such a wonderful fan base, and I said for years, I love her as a stand-up, and I kept saying, I want to get you back on stage, and it was her idea to call it the Sexy Liberal Tour, which, it's goofy by definition. We're coming out there saying we don't take ourselves too seriously. We take the country seriously and its problems seriously, but, Will, you know this better than anybody. There are so many people in this country who are so engaged all over the country who don't go to comedy clubs, because comedy clubs, let's face it, can be dumps and toilets of homophobia and misogyny and racism, and it's hard to do political comedy in a lot of rooms. And so, I said, let's try and do a show where we can bring political comedy to people who like it. There's only a few guys in America who do that well. I think you're one. Bill Maher is certainly a guy who does it. And, I think next year everyone's going to care. Everyone will be engaged again. But it's really been wonderful in an off-election year to start a movement like this. And for me, personally, it's great because, I like doing political material. And I do it for the troops when I do military shows. And it's wonderful doing it for liberal crowds as well. How are you finding the audiences that you're playing to? Are people still supporting the president? Are they fed up? Where do you think America's at?
Well, I was in Chico last night, and I did a little benefit for their community public radio station up here. And Chico is, you know, it's like what they say about Austin. You know, Chico is the blueberry in the bowl of tomato soup. And and up here, because it's pretty conservative, that's where I'm in Chico now. Yeah, but the crowd, you know, it was almost cathartic to hear political comedy. And I was on a double bill with Michael Parenti. I'm sure you know him.
Very good guy.
Yeah. So it was a crowd that was committed to laugh. And I know exactly what you're talking about. It's hard for me to do clubs anymore. And part of it is because of what you said, you know, and it's not always misogynistic or homophobic, but a lot of it is,
lame.
It has to do with masturbation and giant genitalia and stuff like that. And I understand what the kids are doing. They're pushing the edge of the envelope. And when I was a kid, you know, the edge of the envelope that I pushed was anti-authoritarian.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly, I mean,
it was,
right. You it's
know, a lot. Screw the man, but no.
It's
I
a lot safer. Yeah. Will, where can people see you? You're coming to D.C.?
I am. I'm going to be in D.C. Next week, next Thursday through Saturday. I'll be at the Riot Act Comedy Club, and it's wonderful. And then next year, I'm doing my little one-man show in a theater called Elect the Laugh in the Marsh. I'll be there every Tuesday in February and March, and hopefully take it down the road. And I love theaters, you know.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
It's not the club's fault, but when you try to do political comedy, there's second show Friday, and there's a bachelorette party, dead stage left, and a girl wearing a lace penis on her forehead.
Will, I thank you for joining us. I want to remind the folks, Will Durst is now on Twitter, so follow him right after you follow me and Voice Daily Jim and Radio Guy Chris.
Yes.
Will, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I know you had a late night. It's great to have you. Peace.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a great time in San Fran.
Thank you. We're already having a great time in San Francisco. That's how they prefer it to be called. I've learned the hard way.
Yeah.
I'm John Fugelsang. We'll be taking your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12, joined by Tina Dupuy and Rick Overton in the final hour of the Stephanie Miller Show. Coming right back.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show featuring R.E.M. coming to you this morning live from Green 960 here in San Francisco, where the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tour is opening tonight at the Orpheum Theater. And we were down at Occupy San Francisco yesterday. I will be at Occupy Oakland this morning. I'm going to be giving out some free tickets. We're donating a block of tickets to our nonviolent pro-democracy friends at Occupy Oakland, and I'll be there from about 10:30 on this morning. And Mike is on the line from San Francisco. Good morning.
That's right. Hi, guys. I'm an usher. Glad to have you here.
You're going to be at our show tonight?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's like,
right on.
Oh, no, I have to work. Right? No, it's awesome. People ask me, what do you do? I say, I'm a director. I direct the patrons to their seat.
I love it.
I'm just calling in to say, yeah, see, we're not all... All the ushers aren't, like, you know, lurches or Frankenstein. Some of us have degrees and we're, you know, liberals too. And well,
right
anyway,
on.
Republicans as well. I don't know. I'm just rambling.
Right on. And you're working in theater, so I didn't think you were an arch conservative.
Yeah.
right, yeah. true.
Have you been down to Occupy San Fran, Cisco?
No, I haven't. Okay, no excuses. Should I be? I don't know. What is it we're protesting for? What is it we're? I mean, should I be out there protesting? No, it's a good question. It's a good question.
You're protesting on behalf of 99% of the American population. Yep. But I thank you for the call, Mike, and we will see you tonight at the Orpheum Theater. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. We'll be right back.
Stephanie Miller.
I am not interested in logic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Fugelsang, filling in for Steffers, who's traveling up north here to beautiful San Francisco, where we are broadcasting from Green 960, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tour, the tour that was visited by Aretha Franklin, that was joined on stage by Lily Tomlin and Rob Reiner, is opening tonight at the Orpheum Theater in San Francisco. Some seats still available for tonight, and if you're an Occupy Oakland demonstrator and you can't afford tickets, I will be going there myself later on today to donate a block of seats for tonight's show to our friends at Occupy Oakland around 10:30 or 11 a.m. Look for me to show up and make mischief over there. We're very honored to be doing it. And, you know, I'm really excited about this next guest. If you care about the state of your country and if you own a computer, you should be subscribing to Crooks and Liars Daily Email Digest. Crooks and Liars is one of my favorite websites for great political insight and really cool music. And its managing editor, well, that's Tina Dupuy. She has her own jingle.
Speaking of funny and smart, I want to bring on Tina Dupuy, managing editor of crooksandliars.com.
I'm a politician, which means I'm a crook and a liar.
Tina Dupuy is brilliant. She's funny. She's a terrific writer.
Tina does everything, and I just love her already.
Good morning, Tina.
Sexy liberals.
Morning. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
How are you? Welcome to the show. It's great to have you back. And once again, thank you for all the great work that you're doing with Crooks and Liars. We had kind of a flip-flop last week. I've been hanging out at Occupy Wall Street, and you've been in L.A., and then last week we switched places. How was your visit back east?
Right now we're just ships passing in the night, John.
That's been that way for years with us, Tina, but
yeah,
I have hopes for someday.
Probably better for my marriage that you're on the opposite.
Well, once we clear that clown out of the way, don't worry.
Oh, come on.
No, he's a lovely, lucky bastard. But it is. How was your time back east? Did you get to go to Zuccotti?
I'm still back east. I'm in Toronto.
Okay.
Occupy Toronto all week, which is it's incredibly interesting. Yesterday, we all went on a march. I followed them on a march to in solidarity with Scott Olson against police brutality to the American consulate, and they were all, you know, worried that they were going to be arrested on foreign soil, as was I. It was very interesting the way they roll up here. You know, they were like, we're not going to leave without a fight, but we will leave if we're asked nicely.
Well, what is it like in Canada? It's not a 99% movement in Canada, is it? I mean, income inequality is not as horrible an issue there as it is here, is it?
Interesting you should bring that up, because I'm like, I'm an American, so I'm like, look, no one's going to go bankrupt if they get sick. What are you guys complaining about? And
right.
Then I realized how horrible that sounds to come out of my mouth, and how horrible, how callous we have become in the States that if someone isn't destroyed financially because they break their leg, then therefore they have nothing to complain about. Toronto is a very expensive city to live in, and they also have what is essentially a poor tax, which is a 12% sales tax, so poor people have to pay this. Their minimum wage is $10.50 an hour, and you cannot, it's the same problem that we have. You cannot make a living. The gap between between working and making a living is becoming bigger and bigger. Here there's a lot of student loan debt, and it's mainly a movement of youth, as opposed to in the States where, you know, there's the older people who are really finding themselves in this kind of donut hole where they're not old enough to retire, but they're too young to be able to afford their health insurance anymore or get hired find a decent job. And there's really the aging baby boomers are a voice in the movement in the States. And here it's primarily youth who, you know, they're upset that their opportunities are fewer and fewer.
Are they getting the same kind of scorn and derision in the Canadian media that the Occupy Wall Street movement's getting in the American media?
No, actually, I asked the Canadian yesterday. I said, you know, how are they being received here? And she said, well, the CBC, the BBC of Canada, essentially is. They said that they had a liberal bias, but she found the socialist movement in Canada to be too conservative. So I don't really know what that means on a scale of. I don't know the conversion to that. But no, I think that they, you know, I saw there were two national news trucks there for the march of about 24 people, and they were all interviewing the protesters and giving them a voice. So my understanding is that they're really supported locally, and as opposed to, you know, they haven't had the arrests or the issues that we've been having in the States.
Well, that's wonderful, although I will believe our media is liberal when they cover an anti-war protest as much as they cover a Sarah Palin bus trip.
There's two people that are against something.
What are you fired up about this week? Are you glad that Herman Cain's slowing down a little bit in this campaign? Are you glad he's taking a break?
You know, he's... I think that the Republicans just want to, you know, I've been calling them ABRs, anybody but Romney.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew that Herman Cain was going to be the big to-do? I want Michelle Bachmann to make a comeback. She's my favorite.
I do, too. Me too.
Isn't she wonderful?
I'm a comedian, so I'm actually donating to the Bachmann Cain pack. I'm praying for it.
Anytime John Wayne Gacy comes up in a campaign, I mean, you can't wait for better than that.
Oh, John Wayne Gacy. Yeah, someone once told him, follow your bliss, and look what happened. But you're right. I mean, you know, it is great to have this sideshow, but would you agree that at this point there's really only two people actually running for president in the GOP field?
There's more than one.
I think Rick Perry is in it to win it.
I thought he was pulling at like 6% now.
Well, he is, but you know, he is pulling at 6%, but he raised a lot of money in those 3 weeks when he was really popular, and he's begun to roll out his anti-Romney ads. He came out with his big flat tax speech last week. Boy, that was a summit.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's definitely going to try and take the fight to Mitt, and part of his strategy is to avoid, you know, speaking in public. What do you think? Is there any kind of horse race, or is it Mitt's to blow at this point still?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, first off, Perry has no talent but tons of money, which is the premise of all the great reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so mm-hmm. He is our Kim Kardashian for this minute. and then you forget that he's still there. It's going to be fantastic. I mean, but if with production value, his anti-Romney ads are fantastic for Obama.
Of course, yes, indeed. And he hired the old Tim Pawlenty ad maker to make it pretty much a clone of the Tim Pawlenty ad for him now, which is pretty funny to watch those back to back. But you're right. They're you know, Obama's just got to be sitting back and laughing. I mean, I think that that he's got to be in the Oval Office with Daley just chuckling at how these guys are doing his job for him.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, this is, you know, but, you know, again, I mean, there has to be, we have another 3 days before you can actually, you know, to do the final paperwork, right? So, you know, maybe mm-hmm. there'll be a late October surprise and somebody, you know, Trump-esque will put their hat in the ring. But right now,
it'll
be
huge.
Yeah.
Huge. You know, I think actually more likely than Trump, because I don't think Trump will ever run for president. Right, yeah, yeah. Trump can't afford it. He needs to do his reality show. But I do think what you could see if Romney is the nominee is a third party candidate from the evangelical right. I think that that's much more likely, that we'd see someone on a big pro-life platform who doesn't buy Mitt Romney's conversion, making a run for it. Do you think that's possible? And who might that be?
I think it's more than possible. I think that, you know, if you look at Romney and Huntsman, really, John Huntsman is amazing. He should be, you know, I mean, the problem is I like him, but, you know, he should
A lot of liberals in the media like John Huntsman, I know. But
it's a very, well, he's my favorite favorite high school dropout ever.
He speaks Chinese.
You know, it's this deep, deep prejudice against the Mormons. And, And that's the only way to describe it. You know, they've already been called a cult. It's already been an issue. And then, of course, Perry says that he's the one being prosecuted for his faith, which is really bizarre when you're hanging out with someone who calls someone else your opponent's religion a cult.
Yeah.
And I think that there's this very, very deep prejudice that that evangelicals have not dealt with or not kind of wanted to be public about, but they all feel, you know, it's the stuff that they talk about when the doors are closed and it's just evangelicals talking amongst themselves, that they do not like Mormons. They don't trust them. They think what they believe is wacky, and that is
right. This from Christians who love the death penalty and tax breaks for the wealthiest. You know, they think that Mormons are a wacky form of Christianity.
Right, exactly. Or, yeah, or being pro-life while wearing a Christian cross, which is essentially, as Bill Hicks used to point out, an execution method.
Well, I think you can be pro-life while wearing a crucifix. I don't think you can call yourself pro-life while supporting the death penalty. Jesus was very specific about not killing the sinners, never mentioned abortion once. You want to fight abortion, go ahead. If you want to fight it as a civil rights issue or whatever, God bless, do your best. It's a free country. But don't go claiming that you're the great Christian when you support executing people.
And also, I think that Mormonism should really be celebrated because it's an American religion, like Scientology. I mean, we should really, like, made in America. We don't have pride in that anymore. Mormonism is definitely, like, you know, it is the home team here. You know, we've been able to kind of export it a little bit, but not much. You know, we've been sending missionaries all over the world, but really, you know, this is where it all started. So we should really have, you know, a little bit more pride in Mormonism than disdain. Mm-hmm. And you know, 75% of the electorate doesn't want Romney right now.
Of the GOPs, yeah.
Really still makes something in America.
Right.
Tina Dupuy is managing editor of crooksandliars.com, which everybody should read and subscribe to. Tina, it's always such a pleasure to have you on the air. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John. Have a good one.
Get back to the States safely. We miss you over here. And you're listening to The Stephanie Miller Show. We'll be joined by Emmy Award-winning comedian Rick Overton. It's The Stephanie Miller Show at 1-800-STEPH-12.
What's all that noise?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Your eyes are burning holes through me. I'm gasoline.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm John Fugelsang, filling in for Steph. You're listening to REM's Electrolyte from the New Adventures in Hi-Fi album, which is, oh dear, that's like 18 years old now, isn't
yeah,
it? That record?
Yeah.
My goodness, or 17 years old.
I think that's
good
my
Lord.
Least favorite REM album.
You always say that.
I know that, but this is a great song.
It's a better album than, it's a much better album than several albums I could point to in the time since then. Some people think that was the last great REM album, so there you go. You know, I heard on Fox that some people say that some people think that there's been worse REM albums.
I liked them better when I couldn't understand the words, like Michael Stipe's hair was covering his face.
Yeah.
I'm joined, of course, by the great Jim Ward and Chris Lavoie in the L.A. studios. I'm in Green 960 San Francisco, where the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour premieres tonight at the Orpheum Theater. Now, we were in L.A. last week, and I got to say, our opening night in L.A. at the Wadsworth was incredible because of the comedy luminaries that showed up.
Yep.
I mean, we had Lily Tomlin was there. We had George Slaughter, the creator of Laugh-In, was there. Kelly Carlin and Rain Pryor, the daughters of George Carlin and Richard Pryor, come backstage. Like, there's comedy royalty in the house, and possibly one of the greatest names. Oh, please, I'd say one of my. I'm such a fan of this guy.
Yep.
A comedic legend, an Emmy Award winner, been in everything from Seinfeld to Groundhog Day, to the Occupy LA protest. People of Earth, I give you Mr. Rick Overton.
Hooray!
Good morning.
Good morning, Rick. How are you, sir?
I'm on the show. You were brilliant, and I was so happy to see you up there on the show. You shredded.
Thank you, Rick. I got to tell you something. One of the things that I've been talking about with these protests is that if Gandhi had had the iPhone with a camera in it, the British would have left India 2 years sooner. And and when you think about the fact that now it's going to be harder than ever for the rest of human history for authorities to brutalize protesters because everyone's got a video camera, and you had the greatest thing I've ever heard of a way of describing that. What are you calling that?
Little brother. Watching Big Brother right back.
Exactly.
We have infinitely more cameras than they do.
Exactly, Rick, and that's the most inspiring, positive thing I've heard. And all y'all who are at these protests, just remember, as Rick says, Little Brother is watching Big Brother, and we have so much more power now, thanks to the Internet, than ever in democracy because of it. And it's going to be harder and harder to suppress information and the truth. And the fact that
it's
we had this
like
serviceman.
Al Gore saw that coming, huh?
Yeah, Al Gore invented Little Brother. the fact that when we're talking about Scott Olson, the former Iraq vet who was injured in Occupy Oakland by a canister of tear gas in the face, and we're donating money to his medical bills from the tour here. We would never know about that or be able to prove it if it wasn't for these cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick, I think you're so right about that.
Yeah, we every great
piece of technology has some smaller version of it come back to bite itself in its own butt, you know, and this is one of those cases. All the millions of little eyes are going to be what saves us. This is a revolution where that is your musket.
Well, unfortunately, I think they're going to figure out a way to just block all the cell phone cameras, make it disable them from a distance.
Yeah, well, I mean, Oakland already did that once.
Yeah.
So,
they won't get away with it again.
Yeah, I mean, but if that will be your proof as to who's who and what's what when
right.
that happens. You won't need the footage after that. You'll just know that the fact that they had to do that means that
right.
something bad is going on that they don't want you to see.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. What was your take of Occupy LA, Rick? I was there the other day, but you were there well before me. How do you feel about it?
Well, the police are being very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be in part because there's no real tangible target, you know. There is no Wall Street there, so to City Hall, we're petitioning another public arena that our tax dollars paid for. So it draws a small loop, but it is sort of establishing our base here that we are in solidarity with the rest of our nation, and now it turns out the world. And there are some financial institutions nearby that at some point probably should be marched around, and certainly some news institutions that could use a good circular marching.
Good thinking. I have to ask you, as a comedian, which Republican are you most rooting for in the GOP
field? Herman Cain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
Comedy gold.
And, you know, I just say that $9.99, I think, you know, people just, you have to stand on your head and look at it.
Apples and oranges. Apples and oranges. And I knew there was a damn key to that refrigerator with the strawberries in it.
Oh.
It's the Herman Cain mutiny.
Rick, I said that's the Herman Cain mutiny.
You can get anyone to do anything. In my earlier days, I could not have imagined an African-American man serving the employers that Herman Cain does, but, you know.
An African-American man who fought against raising a minimum wage for years and years.
Yeah, there you go. You know, welcome to Earth.
Yep, exactly. Well, I said earlier, I've got a theory that in the early 80s, Andy Kaufman devised a brilliant prank that required faking his death, turning black, and running Godfather's Pizza.
Yeah, fight on that, Zabuda.
Well, brilliant. Well, I agree, but do you think this nomination is Romney's to blow, and what's your take on Romney?
Well, that's a loaded question about Romney, but... I mean, no matter what, he's going to go up against the evangelical base.
Mm-hmm. Will they support him?
boy, there's a lot of infighting amongst those Christians, isn't there?
There certainly is.
Race, right?
Absolutely. But, you know, what do you think of it being a chance of it being a Romney-Obama matchup? I mean, is that going to turn out the base to support Obama again? Will that re-inspire a lot of people?
Unless the voting is purely digital and some guy with a wristwatch just goes beep and everything
right.
goes black and switches over.
Oh, that couldn't happen.
Else, you know,
that's crazy. Right? You crazy conspiracy theorist. This is America.
Yeah, yeah.
Daddy's Republican Party would never allow it.
And that's true. Eisenhower would have had all these current Republicans rounded up and driven off Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very good point, Rick. I mean, you know, I don't think that, I think Nixon would, and Barry Goldwater would be driven out of the current party. And we look at how, you know, one thing I'll say about Occupy Wall Street is that, the Tea Party proved if the people lead, their leaders will follow. But in the case of the Tea Party, they're leading their leaders off a cliff,
mm-hmm.
it seems. There's a purity test that no one can measure up to. And do you think the base will come behind a guy like Romney?
Now I wonder, because the beautiful thing about followers is they'll also follow the biggest thing. And the biggest thing now is the 99% and getting bigger.
Exactly.
And we're starting to get conservatives, Ron Paul conservatives, into the 99 group,
mm-hmm.
Which debate as you will, the details of a Ron Paul anything. And the
yes.
fact that they stand on our side may just be like us working with Russia against Germany
yeah.
in World War II. You know, we needed the Russians then, and we can figure it out later.
Rick, you're on Twitter now. Where can people see you perform?
I'll be at the Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley, up near where you are right now, on the 15th.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm going to be at the UCB this Saturday doing set list.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah, with great groups and a lot of funny folks. And
great.
I'm putting together an organization called the UHO, which is like the USO, but instead of servicemen, it's including servicemen, but everybody else at the 99, and it's humanity, UHO. And we want to put on entertainment shows and get blankets and get tent drives. If you are local near where people are cold, start getting a winterized tent drive and a blanket drive.
Thank you,
for the people who need it.
Thank you.
And if you want to contact us and we can help you somehow and bring entertainment to them too, let us know. We're just in our infancy trying to put this together now. Look for
Thank
our
you.
Site. It'll be on Facebook.
And follow Rick on, follow Rick Overton on Facebook. Facebook and on Twitter. We're out of time. It's been a great time here at Green 960. We open tonight at the Orpheum. Thank you, Rick, and I'll be at Occupy Oakland giving out tickets today at 10:30. Stephanie Miller.